please turn with me this evening to the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 9. The book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 9. And our text this evening is chapter 9 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9 and the second verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. So our subject this evening is light shining upon the darkness. Light shining upon the darkness. Now, recently we were sent a WhatsApp message, a picture from the USA showing a house with 150,000 Christmas lights. And it took the owner 3 months to fix them in his spare time, and now drones fly overhead to take shots of this amazing spectacle. And at this time of the year, the lights are welcoming, aren't they? They're attractive. They do shine a light in the darkness. But by early January, we know that these lights are turned off and taken down. And I don't know about you, but when these lights are taken down, it's all a bit, everything looks a bit drab, doesn't it? You take the Christmas tree lights down and all the business in their house, and it seems a bit drab for a while, but we soon get used to it again. But it speaks to us volumes about the nature of artificial light when compared with the light our text speaks of. Because our text speaks of a great light. But when it dispels the darkness of our mind, it remains as an eternal light, never switches off. It is Jesus, the light of the world, who is the eternal light in heaven, and as a saviour in the heart of the believer. Now our text speaks to us here of two distinct opposites, these being darkness and light. And as we consider these opposites this evening, just for a moment, I would like you to consider only light can dispel darkness. Darkness cannot dispel light, because darkness is only present when the light disappears. Only light can dispel darkness. At the beginning of creation, we read that darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the light dispelled the darkness. And so it is in conversion. Darkness is upon the face of the deep of our souls. And God commands the light to shine, to dispel the darkness. And Paul speaks of this. He said, "For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's God who commands the light to shine out of the darkness. So God saves in the person of his Son Jesus Christ, in the power of his Holy Spirit, dispelling the darkness of our mind. And Joseph Hart, the hymn writer, has put it so well in his prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, let thy bright beams arise, dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. Show us that loving man that rules the courts of bliss, the Lord of hosts, the mighty God, the eternal Prince of Peace." And so this evening I would like to consider these two opposites, light and darkness, and their meaning in Scripture. Well, darkness. It says the people who walked in darkness. Now, in our text, darkness is connected with death. It says those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, Upon them, a light is shined. This should alert us straight away this evening to the serious nature of the darkness which is written of here. It is a darkness of spiritual death. It's not talking here about a natural darkness, it's talking here about a spiritual darkness. It's speaking of a people who are walking in the darkness, and are dwelling in the darkness. What does it mean to dwell in the darkness? It means to walk in the darkness in the here and the now. And the Bible has so much to say on this subject. It means that we are without spiritual light. It means that we are spiritually dead. It means to actually accept the darkness in your life because your heart is dwelling in the darkness. You're actually accepting the situation. Psalm 107 speaks of this darkness and the shadow of death as being in chains that only God can break. Isaiah likens the darkness of life without Christ as being in the prison house and sitting in darkness. Paul describes the power of darkness as oppressing an unbeliever from which they need to be delivered. Elsewhere he likens the darkness to being under the power of Satan. And in Ephesians, Paul actually profoundly describes the person before conversion being simply as darkness. He doesn't say dwelling in darkness, of the darkness. He just says they are darkness. Now that's very sober, is it not? A very convicting word, isn't it? That without Jesus Christ in our life, actually, our lives are darkness. So darkness is a powerful description of the danger of our situation, our condition by nature. Walking in the darkness means we are living in the darkness of sin, estranged from God, without hope in the world, living under the condemnation of God's law, a just law that powers above us in all its purity against sin. Now, Satan's great aim in our lives is to encourage us to abide in the darkness without actually realizing we're doing so. To even portray the darkness as the light, as the darkness as wisdom, as darkness as our own, even our own righteousness, or even our own religion, even our own faith. And he's really willing for us to be deceived into thinking that we are dwelling in the light when actually out of Christ we're dwelling in the darkness. So sometimes Satan will ensure that we know all about, and will it be quite acceptable of us knowing all about the theology as long as it doesn't touch our hearts. So we can quote the scriptures, we can say this and that and what's right and what's wrong, as long as our heart is not changed. We're still dwelling in the darkness. And Satan's teaching of darkness is to be viewed as something even good and acceptable for you, even as light. Jesus speaks of this. He says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light. They actually love the darkness. They actually prefer the darkness than the light. Sin, according to Satan, is to be viewed as pleasurable. Lies as truth, and truth as lies. Rebellion against God's law as your freedom. And the so-called genius of Satan's teaching is to deceive us into thinking that the darkness is wisdom and the darkness is the light. But interestingly, as we mentioned earlier, the earth in its first state, before God's special creative handiwork upon it, where he created this unique earth as a livable planet to live on, it said, the word of God tells us, it was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now this may be a description of the first state of the earth after the fall, when Satan was thrown out of heaven, when he fell in heaven and was thrown out of heaven. This may have been a description of the first state of the earth. There was darkness on the face of the deep. Because in a descriptive sense, the forms without form and void, and it can be rendered, it was a place of confusion. It was emptiness. It was as an abyss. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And Satan is connected with the darkness, which can only exist in the absence of light. But we read the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And so the light dispelled the darkness. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus endured the eternal punishment of all those who trust in him. And during that time, darkness was over all the earth. It depicted the terror of eternal judgment. It depicted the curse. It depicted the curse of Satan, the curse of sin. It's all about the darkness. And it was only when Jesus cried, "It is finished," was the darkness dispelled. But on the third day, Jesus rose again, victorious over sin and death and hell. The light shone in him. And so we can see the symbolism here. Darkness, Satan, death, despair. But God intervenes in the person of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The glad tidings of great joy to all people. God's light is shining in the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the first thing we need to understand, the nature of the darkness. Secondly, this morning, this evening, there are just 2 points this evening. We need to understand the glory of the light. As much as we need to understand the awfulness of the darkness, the terribleness of the nature of the darkness, we need to look at the glory of the light. And in the scriptures, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is clearly connected with the light. Light forms a backdrop of the wonderful news of the birth of Jesus Christ. The shepherds were afraid when the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. There's this amazing light. And they had every reason to be afraid, friends. For here was holiness before sinful men, and they were overwhelmed. They were afraid. But the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born." And so we learn that the glory of the Lord is awesome. It's a pure, penetrating light. It's a fearful experience. But God's glory can be good news. It can be a blessing for us, only as it is conveyed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We turn to Luke 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man. You see, the peace, the goodwill, God's goodwill and peace in the context of his glory is centered in the very person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here in our text, the light is described as great. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. God's light is pure. God's light is holy. God's light is eternal. God's light is life-giving. When we turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 76, we read again the prophetic statement of Zacharias. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spent from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is described as the day spent, the light from on high, the bringer of life and light. And so Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, then recalls our text to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see the connection here with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the prophetic text we are considering this evening. Oh, it's pointing us undoubtedly, most assuredly, that to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. So friends, whenever we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we always think about him in the context of light. John reminds us in his first letter of what Jesus taught them personally firsthand. And he said to us, this is the message we heard of him. We heard it personally. This is what Jesus said to us, man to man, our personal teacher. And we are going to declare it unto you. And this is his message. Right in the very beginning of his letter, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The light of truth, the light to guide, the light to bring us to the Father, the light of life, the light of the world. And so the Lord Jesus is the answer to dispelling the darkness in our life. Those things that trouble you, those things that beset you. Oh, the Lord Jesus is that answer to dispel the darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. And then later he says, I have come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in the darkness. Everything about our Lord is pure and holy and light-giving. And when the gospel comes with power to the soul in Jesus Christ, it has this turning effect upon our life. We move from darkness to light. When the Apostle Paul spoke of his conversion and his call to the ministry, he was testified before King Agrippa. He was given his testimony. And he explains this. He does so through the words that Jesus spoke to him when Christ met him on the road to Damascus. And he said to King Agrippa what Jesus said to him. What were the words that were spoken to him? And Jesus told Paul that in his ministry, the gospel would be characterized like this. He said, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, to turn them from darkness to light. The power of Satan is the darkness, unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and eternal inheritance. And the Apostle Peter reveals the same truth when he teaches on the subject of conversion. He said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, Paul and Peter and John, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and Luke, they love to speak about light. And they love to link the Lord Jesus Christ with the light. And so as we come to conclusion this evening, the first and fundamental point I would like you to take home with you this evening is simply that Jesus is light. Everything about Jesus is light. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. God is light, and Jesus is light. His birth brought forth the glory of the Lord to shine around the shepherds. His birth brought about the star of light in the heavens for the wise men to follow. His coming to this earth is most assuredly a light shining in a dark place. The second fundamental point I would like you to take home with you this evening, and that is Satan is darkness. Unbelief is darkness. Old nature is darkness. And when we fail to view God as truly light and Satan as truly darkness, we end up in a compromise. That is the fundamental problem when we become backslidden and compromised in our life. The fundamental problem is that we fail to see God as only true light, and we try and bring him down to our level, and we fail to recognize Satan for who he is, the darkness. And so we need God to work in our lives and our souls to reveal to us again the wonder of God as the light, and the wonder of his soul, of the Savior Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and the terrible nature of the darkness, to see the darkness for what it really is and what it can do to us. Because when we are neither cold or hot, but lukewarm, we will have half-hearted views of light and darkness. Jesus said this is a totally unacceptable state to be in, to be lukewarm. And when we become lukewarm, it's because we do not appreciate the light, and we do not understand deeply enough the danger of the darkness. The message of the incarnation is that light has come into a world of darkness. And every true Christian will always equate the Lord Jesus with light, and their greatest enemy, Satan, with the darkness. And so the first fundamental point is, as we look forward to the coming year, ask the Lord to bring you to a deeper knowledge of the light. And ask the Lord to bring to a deeper understanding of the darkness. And the effect of that, the fruit of that will be a deepening respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Because only light can dispel the darkness. There's no other way to dispel the darkness in our lives. You know how it happens? This darkness can descend upon us. Perhaps we've got caught up in a besetting sin. We perhaps got caught up in watching something or listening to something or reading something, and it's gradually caught a grip on us. And we know it's really the darkness, and we're giving ourselves reason why it's okay and acceptable, it's not too bad to do it. And our hearts become hardened, and our consciences become hardened, and suddenly, gradually, eventually, it almost becomes acceptable to us, a way of life, and we do not have the spiritual joy that we had before. And we perhaps say, well, if I work harder for the Lord, and if I go to more services, and if I read my Bible more, then perhaps I can overcome this darkness with my efforts. But that's not the answer. You need to come to the light. The people that dwell in the darkness have seen a great light. The light shineth in the darkness. But the sad thing is, the darkness comprehended it not. It's like this teasing of the year. It's the light is shining in the darkness. There's a message going forth that God has sent his Son as the Savior of the world, and the light is shining in the gospel in the darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. Because people would rather dwell in the darkness than exposed to the light. But if we come to this text this evening in a true state of prayer, The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. O Lord, shine a light into my soul in the person of Jesus Christ. Help me to understand, Heavenly Father, that the only way the darkness can be dealt with in my life, the bitterness of all the resentment, the problems in my life, is not by me attempting to be better. It's actually by me simply coming by faith to the Lord Jesus and asking the Lord Jesus to shine into my life with his glorious light, that he might dispel the darkness from my mind. Let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the wonderful truth that Jesus is the light of the world. We come to acknowledge that your word is so truthful to us about the darkness, the danger of the darkness. So many descriptions of the darkness are given to us in your holy word. And we confess, Heavenly Father, so often we do not tremble enough at the darkness. We do not realize the danger of the darkness. Sometimes we even play with the darkness. We sit in the darkness. And we confess before you, Heavenly Father, that this is so sad. And then we confess, Heavenly Father, that when we have those right guilty conscience, we don't always deal with that in the right way. We think we've got to do something ourselves and work our own salvation out with works, rather than working out our salvation in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, in our lives, when we are struggling with the darkness and we're struggling with besetting sins, that you will help us to come to the light, that the light would shine in our hearts and dispel the darkness from our lives. We thank you that Jesus is the light, and there is a light shining in the darkness. We do pray that that light would shine in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.